Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
No, girl, if Kingfisher told me to jump off a bridge into a pool of alligators, and I would do it. I'd be like, oh, Kingfisher said I could? Yes. Done. Hey, welcome to Goodish Girls. I'm Dallas.
And I'm Cass.
And today we are covering Quicksilver, chapter 12 through 14. So as for our previous episodes, if you have not listened to the book, please go listen to the book or read the book because we are giving spoiler after spoiler after spoiler. We are deep diving into this book, all of the chapters, all of the things. So to make sure that you are up to date on what's going on, please go read or listen to the book.
Mm-hmm. If you have enjoyed also hanging out with us or listening to our podcast or watching some of our videos, please follow, like, subscribe, all the things, because we're going to continue through this book and also hopefully continue to do a few more series. So if you have any in mind that you'd really love to hear, feel free to add that to the comments.
And tell your friends about us, okay? Tell them. share this.
All right.
Okay. We're starting with chapter 12. Mm-hmm. In our last episode, we finished off with chapter 11. So in chapter 12, we have Saris and we have Kingfisher, and they are in the forge. Kingfisher is working in a crucible on the anvil by he's on a workbench, right? So he's sweaty, his shirt's stuck to his chest. He's looking great. She's always noticing, right? Every other line, she's like, and he's sweating a lot, and his shirt's stuck to his chest, and he's looking good.
And he's muscular. He's tall, yes.
And I love that we have these descriptions because I'm here for it, right? I'm 100% here for it. So he's a little spicy in this chapter. So she's like looking at him, and he's like, "Could you not eye fuck me?" She goes, "I am not eye fucking you. Thank you very much." Before that, she's like, "Fisher's normally loose black shirt was plastered to his chest. He drew in a deep breath, his shoulders rising, and I jerked when he snapped his fingers in front of my face." And this is how he quoted it. He goes, "You could at least say hello before you start eye fucking me." And she's like, "Bro, I'm not. I was not doing that." And he says, "It's always confounded me. Humans aren't restricted by the same laws as the oath-bound Fae. You creatures can lie whenever you want. You do it all the time. And yet, you're also fucking bad at it." And I would feel so embarrassed. Like,
I would feel really embarrassed.
I would be so embarrassed.
There's so many moments between them, like, early on that I'm like, oh my god. How does she live with herself?
Yeah, girl, does that keep you up at night? Does Saris Fane have anxiety? It doesn't say that.
I don't think she does.
I don't care
in the world.
She's just chilling, man. I don't know. I would have anxiety. It's fine. But also, I thought it was pretty... It's interesting that they have oath-bound Fae. And I know that this is, like, pretty common in a lot of fantasy stories as well. Mm-hmm. The Fae can't lie. In ACOTAR, right? She was like, mm-hmm. Feyre was like, they can't lie. And then they were like, actually, joke's on you. We can totally lie to you. That's a myth.
Yeah.
Right? Here it's real. They really cannot. Yeah. So they have to be very careful with their wording, which we will find out about later when they make a bargain.
Right.
Idiot. And you have to be careful about what your wording is. So they're in the forge. They're hanging out. He's like, "You're a fucking liar." She's like, "No, I'm not." Whatever. I'm sure he rolled his eyes at her at some point in time. This is also where he continues to call her Osha, mm-hmm. which he doesn't really tell her what that's about. He just keeps giving her nicknames. So he's like human or Osha. And she goes, bro, it's Saris. That's my name. Call me that or nothing at all. And this part made me laugh really hard because he like has this like really amused look on his face. And he goes, nothing at all? I like the sound of that. Come here and look at this nothing at all. And
he's such a dad. That's such a dad joke.
Exactly. I was like, that's a dad joke right there. That's something every dad would say.
This man is a father. How many kids have you had?
Nothing at all. Okay. And then this girl, she is so hot and bothered, okay, that she literally cannot focus. And she almost puts her finger in a hot ass crucible. So in a hot little clay pot that has like molten lava in it, she's like, I'm gonna do it. it killed me. So King Fisher like grabs her around her wrist and he's like, where you come from? Like, does a smith poke a finger into a crucible right after it comes out of a blazing furnace? Osha? She's thinking to herself, like, if I was back in Elroy's shop, he would have, like, killed me. He would have killed her.
Yeah. Cut your hand off.
Like, there was gloves, and there was, like, little tongs, and there were, like, tools. Right. And she claims to know. She knows her way around a forge. Like, she grew up with it.
Right.
But girl is so high and bothered, so mind blurry because of this hot-ass man in front of her. I think he should have let her do it. He should have just watched her.
I mean, they have healers, so...
Yeah, she would have like, healed just fine.
You learned your lesson. Also, like, they talk about how they can smell that, right? They smell that on each other.
Everything.
All the time.
Yep.
How does he continue to be, like, normal when that stench is, like, up his nose?
Oh, I think you
I don't think I could. I don't think I could do that.
I think if he wasn't like thousands of years old, it would be harder for him. But he's learned, you know what I mean? He's learned to like.
He's also really hot. So probably every female smells like that around.
Probably. He's like, that's normal.
Yeah.
Fine.
It's the air.
No, if that was like in the real morning world, air. You just smelled that.
That would be wild. Absolutely not.
That'd be so
absolutely
awful.
Absolutely not.
It would be. Ew. No.
To be embarrassing. Truly embarrassing.
It really would. So while they're in the forge, Kingfisher has like bone that he's trying to crush up and put and mix, like he wants her to mix it with the quicksilver to see if mm-hmm. biological material will trick the quicksilver into binding with another material.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really interesting because she was like, well, is that human bone? And he's like, no. It's fey bone. Would you like to offer up a sample to like see if it makes a difference? Obviously she did not. So the bone was definitely fey, and he's like, well, for centuries our kind has tried to understand how the relics allow us to travel through the quicksilver, how they were made. It says there have been many theories over the years, but that's all they've ever been. With the quicksilver sleeping, we haven't been able to experiment or put any of those theories to test, but now that you're here. And then she's like, oh, you want me to wake the quicksilver, try and bind things to it, and see if we can make a relic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So hopefully the biological material, aka the bone, will help. It did not help. It sure did not. It was kind of upset. And I thought as I was reading this, as they're trying different things, like we know that the quicksilver in Kingfisher's eye talks to him. Right?
Right.
We know it says some shitty stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was making fun of him while he was
in his
trying?
Head when he tried that?
Do you think he was like mixing it together and they're like, that's not gonna work. That's a real stupid idea.
I don't know. I mean, I just hope not.
It doesn't say it, but I can imagine. I mean, his quicksilver is kind of an asshole.
I mean, it's been with him for a long time.
They're real mean. They're real honest, and they're mean. And I think they were probably like, boo, no. And he's like, shut up. I'm trying it anyway.
Or do you think it's like dead silent, and then when it doesn't work, they're like,
hee hee.
Yeah.
Just a little snort in the background. Oh my god.
Like, we're still here, but also LOL. Just a tiny one.
Well, that was stupid. Better luck next time.
Poor man.
I feel like it says stupid shit to him all the time.
Probably, and it's in his head.
He, like, it's like right in there. Like, there is no
stopping
it.
He literally can't get it out. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So as she's like, okay, cool. Like, let me try this bone. We'll try it with the thing, see if I can make the silver. And then she's like, holy shit, something is in this forge. Like, we are not alone. She's like, oh shit, we're not alone. Someone's here. And then Kingfisher is like, all of a sudden he's like, shadows and movement. And he's like, going. And she, this girly, picks up a goddamn pair of tongs. She's like, as a weapon. She's like, I clench him like a dagger. She's like, I'm in a defensive stance. And I can you imagine the look on Kingfisher's face when he looks over and this girl has a pair of tongs?
Tongs.
Right.
She's so...
Tap, 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 tap. Just imagine the clicking of them together.
Reading through this again, she's so embarrassing.
But it's
like, I've been more embarrassed. I know, but I've been more embarrassed for her during this, like, deep discussion that we're going through than what I ever thought. Like, there's a few things that I was like, oh god, that's embarrassing, right? Like, the very few things. But there's so many things that I did not catch or, like, just didn't think about mm-hmm. that I'm like, oh my god, what the hell?
I think it's because whenever I read a book, I am the character. There are no other characters. Like, they don't look different. I know Sarah has long black hair. She's super thin. Not me. Right. Very curvy. But in the book, I am she. Right? I am girl. Kingfisher is who he is. Everyone's where they are.
I'm always looking for the MMC. So sometimes if it's a long-ass chapter about just the FMC, my brain only retains half of it because I'm like...
girl, hair, eyes. Yeah, moving on.
Eyes. Trauma. Got it. Okay.
Has
next. When is she going to run into him again?
Where is man?
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I can imagine you doing that too. Like on Audible, like fast forwarding 30 seconds at a time.
Still no man voice. Gotta
whenever
keep going.
I read the book, right, I'm like, I'm climbing up the wall. I'm scaling the tower. I'm learning to
fight.
And
I'm like, okay, she got up, she got over. Okay, great.
So I guess a part of me assumed that everybody, like, all people did that they just assumed that they were the main character in the book.
I kind of do. Like, I definitely do, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, like, when it's in my mind. Also,
yeah, well, when it's, like, male and female together.
Are you watching it as if it's like a movie in your mind, or are you watching like through her
eyes? I cannot. So I have that thing that's like.
You have the thing?
I can't. Yeah, where I can't see things in my mind. Yeah. So it's just black in my mind. Yeah, I can't picture things in my head. It is really sad. Thanks for reminding me.
I thought of that, of the movie. If I was you, I'd be real sad.
It's pretty sad. Everyone's always like, picture this, and I'm like,
can't. Yep, I'm totally picturing it.
Yeah.
Oh no,
it's working.
The movie's gonna be great for you though, because you're gonna be able to like, here it is,
visualize. Yeah.
And I'm gonna be probably disappointed because I'm not on the screen.
Yeah. You'll be like, who is that bitch up there?
I don't know who they catch. You nothing like
I don't
me.
Look like that.
Why is she so skinny? Why is
that's
her hair so
not
pretty?
Me.
That's so wild. Then when I'm reading, like, I go into like a different planet, and like I'm looking through the eye, like through my eyes. Wow. So like I'm not looking at like Sirius and Kingfisher, like I
right.
am Sirius. So I'm like
yeah.
hearing songs.
Right.
That's interesting. Mines are crazy. Mm. So, anyways, they're in the forge. they're chilling. Are you okay? I'm so sorry. I feel
no,
bad.
I'm
now.
Good. You're good.
We should have talked about this. I should have known that about you.
I don't really mention it.
I'm going to take you to the movies when it comes out. Don't worry. It's actually on Netflix, but we can watch it at my house.
Well, yeah. We'll have a little movie marathon. It'll be great.
We will. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so they're in the forge. She's got her tongs. everybody's ready to fight. Kingfisher's all shadows and anger. She's in a defensive stance. Oh my god. She said, the cold wind ripped at my hair, and then he was gone. He rematerialized. And he's like, the fuck is wrong with you? It's a fox. And he's like, Guts, I thought you were about to die. I thought you were about to literally get your face ripped off. It's a fox. And she's like, a fox? What is that? Right? So only knows two suns, does not know moon, does not know cold or water, and also doesn't know what foxes are? My question is, what animals lived there in her home? Like lizards? Reptilians? I don't know. I have questions about what animals
sounds
could be
like
there. Is there any?
No animals live there.
Like but horses.
Are there horses? I was going
to
say,
they
hold on.
Horses. Because she has a hate relationship with horses. I don't want to call it a love-hate relationship because she says horses also hate her. So
I don't know.
And so in this, there's this fox that shows up, and Kingfisher is about to bring his sword down on it. Like, Nimrod's coming down. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You cannot kill that. Like, no, we're not doing this. You're not killing this, whatever a fox is, right?
Right.
I, in this moment, was driving and listening to this scene when I first was, like, listening to the book. And I was like, if this handsome-ass man kills this fox, it will be my first DNF. I read this before Book of Azrael. That's my only DNF. I will stop listening to this. You will lose me. If the dog dies in the movie, I'm done. I can't watch the rest of it. I was like, if you kill this animal, I'm out. He did not, thankfully. Of course he didn't.
Right.
I know that now.
Right.
But in the moment, I was like, sir, we don't kill foxes. Thank you. And during this whole time, he has a huge hangover, right? Like, he's not doing very good. And so he's like, transferring like that, like transporting with that, the headache is not fun. It's literally the worst.
Right.
And he's like, it's literally going to bite you. And she goes, no, it's not going to bite me. And it did bite her.
Right.
Immediately bit her. Almost down to the bone, she says. And she's like, dude, help me. Like, Kingfisher, help. It's literally biting me. And he says a funny thing. He goes, This is a learning experience, I think. There are always consequences to our actions. Your new furry bracelet is a consequence of human weakness. Wear it with pride. It's so nice because when she was back home, girl was not humble, right?
No.
I think she is humbled here every day. And it's going to make her stronger in the end.
It makes her better.
She needed it. Yeah, it does make her better.
It makes her more tolerable.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely does have that very, like, I'm a strong woman, don't need anything kind of personality, which I know we've talked about before. Like, a lot of times is really, like, hard for me. Like, I don't like those kind. Like, you know. But he really knocks her, like, down a few pegs right off the bat, which I really
like.
And
I think it's funny,
she's like, oh, shit.
She tries to do it to him as well. And sometimes she gets it and sometimes she does not. And so during this time, the fox is literally on her arm, right? It's biting her to the bone, which can you imagine, like, how bad that would hurt? And she's like, let go. And she goes, please let go. I don't want to have to hurt you. I'm sorry we ruined your home. I promise we'll make you an even better one. And he goes, don't make promises on my behalf. I think you would make a great hat. And she goes, I growled at Kingfisher, and the fox growled too. And she goes, as if we'd found some common ground, the little fox slowly released its grip on my forearm, its jaws shaking as if it were going against its better nature by releasing me. And, okay, here's where I'm going to go off, okay? If, when you read the rest of the book, and in the bonus, and this is kind of crazy, so just stick with me. In the bonus chapters, which you may or may not have read, it's okay if you didn't read them because we are going to do an episode on the bonus chapters once we're done with this actual book. Trust me, I have many notes.
Right.
In the bonus chapter, there is a moment where Kingfisher is talking to Archer, which we'll get into later on. You should know who Archer is, though. And there's a what I think may be a typo or maybe not a typo. Because in the bonus chapters, it does state, like, hey,
These are not released in a book. There are some typos here and there. Like, take it as you will.
Right.
Right. However, I think Callie heard smart. I don't know if it's a typo. Where it's basically like Archer says something, but it's said that Onyx said it. Does that make sense? Like, there was a quote.
Oh.
And then yeah. it like, there was a conversation between, like, Archer and Kingfisher. Onyx was there. And then it was, like, Onyx said this. But I think it's supposed to say Archer said this. So it could be that typo that they had warned us possibly was in
right.
there. Or is Onyx some sort of, like, animal familiar? Or is he reincarnated? Do they have reincarnation there? I don't know. Because there's a lot of times in the book where they're... where she talks about Onyx as if he, like, understands her. Right?
Right.
Like, as if we found some common ground, it released its grip. Going against his better nature by releasing me.
Right. Well, and she does talk to him later on, and he, like, responds in ways, mm-hmm. like, he can understand her.
Yeah.
So.
And again, it doesn't say that, and I could be, this could be, like, a super wild off-the-wall theory. Someone had mentioned one time that they thought it would be a cool theory is if it was his mom reincarnated. Because in the bonus chapters, there is a spot where, like, Kingfisher's trying to, like, reconnect with the thought of his mother. And Onyx right. is there. And so I was like, I wonder, like, if that would be a very cool idea or a very cool way to go about that story. If Onyx was reincarnated, if Onyx was, like... part of that, right?
Right.
Just pretty. I think that would be pretty nice. Okay, so they're still in the forge. They figured out that this fox is a thing. They put it in a little, like, area with water and things like that. So they're keeping the fox. It's safe.
Is their child?
It is now their child. Their son. It doesn't have a name yet. Like, we're calling it Onyx, obviously, because we know that it's named Onyx. But at this point in time, is just fox.
Mm-hmm.
And she's learning what a fox is. And so they're in there, and he starts making fun of her. And he's like, "What the fuck? Like, look at your dress. Look what you're wearing." And he's like, he's making fun of her dress. And he tells her that it reminds her that her intestines were part of her wardrobe when he met her. So, like, when they... I can see the look on your face. When he met her in the pool, she was legit stabbed through the stomach under the shoulder.
I mean, yeah, like, I guess.
Well, when I first met you, these were part of your wardrobe. He's making fun of her outfit, and he's like, "You look ridiculous in that fucking dress in this forge."
Right.
Like, I don't know why you're wearing that. And she's like, "Well, I would like to wear pants. I had pants when I met you." And he's like, "Actually, your intestines were a huge part of that in your wardrobe." So she's making fun of him, and he's like, she's like, "Fuck you, man. Like, you're the worst." And she lunged for him, and she's, like, ready to kick his ass, right? Mm-hmm. And she says, "I felt the brush of fur against my calves and remembered the little fox that I was still harboring. Its claws scratched against my leg. I attempted not to react, but Fisher saw me flinched. Gods above," he groaned, "let me kill it and be done with it." And this is, again, where I question, does this fox know
Die.
Something that we don't know?
Oh,
it's,
or
he's
yeah.
He's about to kick his ass. And it's like, oh, don't do that. Bad choice. And he, like, clawing at her, right? After he's done making fun of her, he flicked his wrist again, and the tight crimson gown Lane had dressed her in disappeared into thin air. So dude can literally conjure clothes.
Yes.
And weapons. So not only did she get a brand new skin-tight, cute-ass black outfit, it came with weapons. And
he's like, "Hold on, let me dress you how, like, I want you."
Done. That's my dream. I don't want to go clothes shopping. I just want someone who can conjure clothes for me.
Who can dress me.
And of course he does this, right? So she's got, like, a knife strapped to her thigh. She's like staring at the black onyx handle. She's like, "What the fuck?" And this asshole, he's like, "Do you need walking through how that works?" She's like, "No, I know how this works." And so then after that happens, like, so they're still working on that bone, right? Like in the crucible. And so the bone fragments burst into flame, and it says the Quicksilver mocks her. And I really wish it went into detail of how it mocked her.
right?
Right.
Usually I feel like it does. Usually it says something or they like put it in there. But yeah, they didn't.
It's in the, it mocked me. What did it say? Did it tell you sucks? Did it tell you try again? Did it just laugh? Did it have an accent? I don't know. I just.
Did it have an accent? Or was it the chorus singing to you?
Was it all of them? I just laughed. I was like, what did it say? It did say, though, that it chanted and cursed at me in a cadence that felt mocking, and she did her best not to scream out of frustration. So I guess it was kind of singing at her, right? So it was probably was multiple voices. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wish she gave us a quote.
Yeah,
I would like to see that. So anyway, so she's like hanging out. She's looking around the forge. And she's looking at his, like, Kingfisher's pendant that's around his neck. And she's like, you know, maybe if I looked at that pendant, held it in my hands, if there was another element bonded with it when it was fired, I might be able to feel what that was. And she does tell us, as readers, she's like, this was a dangerous game. If it worked, I'd be able to go home. If it didn't, I'd have a furious Kingfisher on my hands. And I'd probably be imprisoned in my rooms until I died of old age. Right? So she's like, hey, let me check out that pendant of yours. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to see what other elements are in there. And he's like, she's like, you could just take it off, right? Because he's like, I'm literally wearing it. She's like, you could just take it off. And he's like, she's like, you let me wear it a whole 10 days while I was recovering, didn't you? Like, what's a couple of minutes? And this is where we find out, right, that when he came through the pool, he says, Ren had me trapped in a room with 3-foot thick walls locked behind an iron door the whole time. And I immediately was like, poor Renfis. That poor man has not seen his friend in over 100 years. And now he has to lock him in this room with super thick walls and just like take care of this scary other man struggling. 10 out of 10 good friend.
Ren is a great friend.
Great friend.
I will die. He's one of my favorite characters in this book. He stands by like everybody all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
If he dies, I'm also going to freak out.
Don't. Why would
she say that? Because she said the deaths are coming.
No.
Kelly Hart told us.
Prepare for war. Well, then it needs to be Everlane, because honestly, do we really need her?
No, she was already in danger once. She can't be in danger again.
Just I'm going to be upset. I already know it. Anyways.
Prepare yourself.
I'm prepared.
And she's like, okay, fine. Like, don't take it off. She's like, I'll just touch it while you're wearing it. Right? Mm-hmm. So she's like walking over to him. She's like hanging out with him and she's touching it. And he goes, oh, is there anything yet? And she's obviously still like reeking of everything. He knows it. Right? He can smell it on her. And she's like, no, let me think. I don't know. Not yet. Hold on. And then he casually is like, what do you know about Fey anatomy, little Osha? And I'm sure that this whole room just smelled terrible the whole time. And he's like, we have similar internal organs. Like, we do possess a few organs that humans do not possess. So, and she's like, oh, that's weird, extra internal organs. And then they don't go into what they are,
right?
We don't know. Why would they?
Well, why would they?
I was like, what do you have, like an extra appendix? Like, what is this? What do you have?
They don't need appendixes though.
I know, but I just want to know. I don't know.
A third kidney?
I just need to know.
An extra liver? I don't know.
Something. Yes, right. Okay, so they have extra organs. We don't know what they are. It sucks.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, we're bigger, taller, of course. He's like, and our hearts are bigger by ratio. So our hearts are a lot bigger. And then he starts, like, it's like thrum, 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 right? He's like erratic, like a hummingbird. I hear it bouncing all over the place when you look at me. Did you know that? So she just found out that not only can he fucking look at her face, because she doesn't have a stone face at all, no poker face, he can literally smell her and the arousal on her. And then also he can literally hear her heartbeat. Girl might as well just write it down for him. But how she's feeling because there's no hiding anything. Just no secrets. And she's like, I was burning alive. She's like, I was a living torch blazing out of control. And she tried to lie. She's like, I wouldn't fuck you if they were the last living thing. And he's like, don't bother, babe. He's like, don't. Lying is pointless. Your heart is literally betraying you right now.
It's so embarrassing.
I know. Poor girl. And he knows it too. He's like, haha, look at this. So she's like, yeah, right. Like, okay, I'm just going to kiss you and you're just going to sit there. You aren't going to move a muscle. You're not even going to kiss me back. Right. Cause they're like super close together. She's trying to feel mm-hmm. this pendant out. And she goes, the scent of him washed over my senses, overcoming me, undoing me. Mint smoke and the winter morning air. And that I was becoming accustomed to the more time I spent in this strange place. And I swear to God, if I don't get a fucking candle that smells like this soon, I'm going to freak out.
I need a candle that smells like Kingfisher's arousal.
Winter morning air. I need it in my house.
Now.
Actually,
I have one similar. What's that? That one? You remember that I got? But it's called Rowan.
The Rowan one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like smoke, wood, mountain air. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, nice. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm not a mint person, though. So I'm a little nervous about the mint.
I'm a mint person because Kingfisher's a mint person.
Hopefully it's like a good kind of mint and not like and
No, it's probably like a nice light mint. And then I feel like the smoke's heavier than the mint. Like it's like the smoke.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like a hint of mint. And then the winter morning air. Somebody make me a candle. One day we're going to have a fan club.
ASAP.
I'm a hoe for merch. I'll bring the candle to every recording. How about that?
You're like, hold on. Let me light my candle.
Let me light my Kingfisher candle.
Give me 2 seconds, please.
And that is the end of chapter 12.
Woo!
Now we're moving on to chapter 13. Ceres is supposed to be like in a special place, like the library or hanging out, but she's not. Instead, she is booking it over down as far as she can possibly go to try and find the pool of silver because she is a little sneaky. She's running away, trying to get home to her brother, who is 20 years old, to remind you guys. Hopefully he's not dead. Not little. Her little baby bro. So she's running from everybody. So she is going around the castle, trying to figure out where this pool is, trying to go through these tunnels. So she's going down the flight of stairs. And then also we realize that she has Onyx with her, who she still has not named yet, just Fox, right? She has the fox in her bag. And she's like, dude, stop making noises. Just shush. She's like, Kingfisher wanted to turn you into a hat. Like, relax. We're going now. We're going to run away. So they're going and she's like, hey, I'm going down here, but how am I going to get past all these guards? Like, this place is definitely going to be guarded. This pool is very special now that, especially that it's open and active. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, there's going to be eyes everywhere. So she does eventually run into those guards and then they don't really notice her. She's hiding, right? She hides from them. They go right past her, which I was glad that happened. I didn't anticipate like them seeing her and her having to kill them or something like that, and then like throw them in the pool. I don't know. That's where I probably would have put them. Right?
Like, go through.
No body, no crime.
Who knows where they would come out?
Right. It's some world, right? Who knows? And so she's going through. She hides from the guards. She's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Here we go. And then the Quicksilver in the pool starts speaking to her. It's like, hey, girl, what's up? So it's like, there's another way. There's another way. Come, come. And so she's like hearing it in her mind. And she said it was disconcerting because it was like, she said hearing the Quicksilver whispering inside my mind was disconcerting to say the least. Mm-hmm. But this is not the first time that the Quicksilver has spoken to her. Why is it different? Is it because it's loud? Is it louder?
That's what I assumed. I assumed it was louder because it's a bigger pool of silver. because I feel like throughout the book, a lot of times, if it's a small amount, they almost had like a smaller group of voices talking, or it was quieter. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, right when we're around the Quicksilver a lot, and there's a lot of it everywhere, it was loud choruses or like big groups of people like shouting at her.
Yeah, like so multiple.
In my brain, I feel like that would be it. Mm-hmm. Is that it's louder, a stronger pool of it.
That's possible. Yeah, that's like the first time she's heard like that amount of Quicksilver speak to her at once. And she's like, whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
A little out of body experience there. I can see that. That makes sense. So she's still running down. She's still trying to go through these tunnels, figure out where this place is. And so it's like, come back, like, be with us. We won't hurt you. We're going to be like, they're going to be nice to you. And so she says, she finally gets there and she's like, this pool of shining silver was awake and full of lies. How do you know? How do you know it's lying? How does she know? Why was this?
I don't.
It doesn't really like say why. It doesn't say how she knows. She just feels it, I guess. Maybe the tone that it gave.
Maybe.
But she said that and I was like, how do you know it's lying? And she never says that about any of the other Quicksilver, just this pool.
That's true. That is true, actually. So is this
like a special pool? I mean, I know
it's because it's Bellicons?
Possible. Like, was this Quicksilver, did it already make a bargain with somebody? I don't know. I just thought that was really something to note, was that she noted that it was lying.
Right. I didn't catch that the first time.
I didn't either until I was reading it again. I was like, okay, well, I guess we know it's lying. But at first I was like, yep, that thing's lying to you.
Sure.
You're right.
Uh-huh. Don't listen to it.
So she still has like the fox in the bag. It's whining. It's like panting. It's freaking out. She's like, the cursed thing wouldn't stop wriggling. And she said, by the time I'd reached the pool, he was thrashing, desperate to be free. So like obviously he's like, he either hears something or he can like feel vibrations, or he's like, he knows, even though he's in the back, he can't physically see the pool itself. It can feel it. So like, I don't know if it's some sort of like animal thing, like all animals can feel it. And so therefore the animals don't go through the portals.
Or but he does.
What do you mean he does?
He does travel with them through the gates.
Through that portal, through the gate, but not through silver. Right. So I imagine like those portals that they go through,
uh-huh,
like with the horse and stuff. Like I imagine that to be like a shadow gate in my mind.
Ah, so they're separate things?
Yes. Yes. I believe they're separate things. So like one is like a pool of silver.
Did I read this whole book wrong?
Well, because they can't, when they're traveling, like they're on the horse, right? Yes. Eventually we're going to get to the horses, but they're like on the horses. She hates the horse. They go through the thing. She gets sick the first time.
Right.
They don't have relics. They can't go through silver. So that's not a silver portal.
Wow. Yeah, I totally read this book all wrong. Let me reread it and we can reconvene. Gotta go. Time to log out.
All right, bye. That's so funny. Now you're it's gonna like connect in your brain a little bit better too. Yeah, no, I imagine that to be like a totally separate type of magic portal.
See, and I just thought those portals that they could travel that way now because the Quicksilver was open. Mm-mm. Because I didn't know if they could travel through those shadow gates before when the Quicksilver was closed.
I'm not sure if they could or not. Kingfisher's been gone a really long time, so it's possible. I think his magic conjured up that portal itself.
Mm.
The fox jumps out of her bag. He's like bolted. He's gone, right?
Right.
And she was like, well, it's probably for the best, because like, I don't know how I would have taken care of him. Girl, same. You have no water. You have no food. You have no home. Where the absolute hell are you gonna feed him beer from that bar? Like, where are you going to get this? You're going to take care of this fox. Not to mention the fact that the first person in her city that sees this fox is going to immediately try to take him. Just for the fact that it's new and they've never seen it and they want it.
Also food.
Food.
Yeah.
the fox is in the bag. Uh-huh. He gets out of the bag. He takes off. He's gone, right? Uh-huh. And so before that, he, like, is freaking out in the bag from the sounds of the silver. So he can feel the vibrations or hear something. Uh-huh. Either way, fox is not having it, right? And she's like, the fox has no idea what she is saying. I disagree. Again, and I go back to, like, way before where she's like, the fox isn't what I'm talking about. But she's like, the fox and I agreed. Or the fox chose to unleash my arm. We came to a mutual understanding. There's something with the fox. Again, could just be, like, an animal familiar, right?
Right.
Could be something totally different. I like to think on the far-fetched side and say that it's probably something wild. So as she's going down the maybe. Wouldn't that be cool, though? I think that'd be a good story. I don't know what Callie Hart's thinking. So when she gets down there, she finally gets to the pool. The pool is 40 feet wide and 50 feet across. So this thing is massive. And it's, like, solid, like glass. Right. And the voices, she said that they were, like, insistent. And then she said the quicksilver was, like, intensifying. She said she also felt like it was pulling her. She was like, there were physical hands shoving me, pushing me, pulling me, urging me to step into the pool. So she's, like, physically being moved forward by the quicksilver itself. And again, I think it goes back to the fact that it's so much silver.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much silver that it physically is moving her.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary. It's kind of scary. You're just like, where am I going? And for a moment, she was like, okay, I should do this. Like, this is what I want to do. But she said there was one thing I needed to do first. Yesterday, when Kingfisher had forced me to activate that quicksilver, the one that she had to hold it in her hand.
Yeah.
He said it was a test, one I'd passed. I had no idea if he had set me the test or if the quicksilver itself had, but there had been no pain when I activated the silver earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Only a key turning in my mind, a lock popping undone, a stream of energy invited to flow. Would it be the same here with this quicksilver, or was I going to have to pass another test with this pool? So she activated quicksilver earlier. It didn't hurt her, but then when she very first did it, it did hurt her. And my question is, yes, she had passed a test, but was that because it was the first time that she ever physically held, like, just quicksilver in her hands? Maybe that's, she just wasn't sure what she was feeling, or
I think
she was
feeling
unsure.
I think it hurt originally because she didn't know how to talk to it, right? She didn't know how to control it, which is what she's able to do.
Right.
So then when she was able to control it, it doesn't hurt her anymore, right? Like, she's changed that. So I think that is the stage of it. But I don't know how she thinks she can jump from a bead of quicksilver to a giant-ass pool of it and be like, I can control this. Kingfisher said I passed the test. Like, in my head, I was like, you're wild, to try this.
No, girl. If Kingfisher told me to jump off a bridge into a pool of alligators, and I would do it. I'd be like, oh, Kingfisher said I could? Yes. Done.
Okay, but, like, remember, he didn't say you could open this pool. All he said the other day was, oh, you passed the test. After, of course, he screamed at her while she was doing it to be like, activate it. Activate it.
Do it.
Do something. Like, how are you going to tell me that you can come up to this pool full of quicksilver and be like, I can do it.
Bet. Can do it.
I don't know.
She's got his ring. She's gonna command this and jump in. She's a girl with a plan.
Okay. I don't know, but I don't think so. But
well, it's okay they did think so, because it did not work.
Sure didn't.
Well, I mean, I guess technically she never got to try. Really?
There's
right?
probably a good reason for that.
Yeah, I'd like to know what would have happened.
I think that it would have been too much. She would have jumped into it. It would have consumed her. It would have been pain and agony and death.
Or
because I don't think she was strong enough to control that much.
Or a trip to somewhere not home.
Right? Yeah, because, like, if she's thinking about pain,
she's gonna
where is she
going to
show up?
Some planet, somewhere.
Who knows? So she goes, I breathed deep and reached out with my hand, reaching my fingertips to the cold, hard surface of the silver. And I spoke to it, wake up. The pool woke up and spoke to her to dive on in. It was like, get on in here, girly. Here we are, I'm awake. So she did end up waking it up. Not necessarily fully, I think, controlling it, but she was like, hello, good morning.
Right.
And so right before she's like, a terrible wind howled through the cavern. The tip of my slipper kissed the silver. She's like about to put a foot in. She's going. She's like, before I could step forward, a wall of shifting, glittering black sand slammed into me, knocking me back. I went down hard, landing on my side, my hip exploding with pain. Breath rushed into my lungs, ice cold, so freezing that I let an audible gasp of shock. And oh gods, it was Kingfisher.
Thank God. Dad came to stop her. Dad. He's like, hold on.
Hello, Daddy. I'm sorry, Dad.
He's like, what the hell are you doing out of your room?
Young lady.
Little girl. Little OSHA.
Little OSHA.
Back in your room.
So he gets a little spicy, right? And his eyes look blazing. He's pissed, right? He goes, I'm hurt. Leaving without saying goodbye.
God, I love him.
Another dad joke, right? Dude's absolutely pissed, though. She's like, bro, I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you time. I don't owe you nothing. He goes, you owe me your life.
When he yelled this in the book, I was like, duh. I was so mad when she was like, I don't owe you anything. I was like, you're a liar.
So it goes back to where when I'm reading books, I am character. I am FMC. I was like, when he yelled, I was like, oh my God, don't yell at me like that. So scary.
No.
So when he, it said that when he yelled, though, it set the quicksilver churning. Which it's I thought was mad interesting. Too. Was it churning because it didn't get her when it was expecting her? Or was it churning because he also has some sort of, he's obviously not an alchemist, right? Like he can't control the quicksilver, but he does have a connection because it's right. In his eye.
Yeah. That was my thought.
That's interesting. It was an interesting comment, though.
It's pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he grabs her ankle, he pulls her in, and he's literally like over top of her, and Nimeril is at her throat. There's like a full knife at her throat, right? And he's like, rule number 3. Do not make me do any physical activity. What part of I am hungover did you not fucking understand? But like, thinking back to my younger days, like my hangover days, how do you even make it down the stairs? Like journey. He like swifted in.
Yeah.
I don't know what we call it in this book.
Get swifty.
Can someone create us a picture of these characters in that version of Rick and Morty as Rick and Morty characters? I want to see Kingfisher in the Rick and Morty realm. Thank you.
He probably look like Rick, but with black hair,
but like bigger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, he can't be like skinny boy. Oh,
so funny. So he's like super pissed, right? Sword's at her throat. Mm-hmm. And he calls her out for being a little thief, right? He's like, you're a liar and a thief. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I never lied to you. And he's like, yeah, I know. I was like, girl.
I hate when they're like throat. This.
But I mean, I'm not trying to be like devil's advocate here. And again, she is my favorite female character, like in one of my favorites in the books that I have read. Mm-hmm. That's her go-to, right? I'm gonna lie immediately.
I know.
Get out of this.
It drives me insane.
But it helped her, right? If she would have told that guard, yo, my name's Sarah Spee.
Well, yeah.
Dead immediately.
But
right?
She so knows.
Her go-to's like, bleh.
She knows at this point, though, with the Fae, that she can't do that. She's not gonna get away with it.
Why
she keep trying?
But she also says for the first time she felt real fear. So I think she was like, oh, shit. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Plausible deniability. Like, I don't know. I didn't take anything. And he's like, really? Because mm-hmm. I believe you're wearing my ring. And I don't remember fucking giving it to you. So she's like, okay, like,
Backpedal. Fine. Yes, I took your stupid ring, but I didn't lie to you. Girl. And then she tries to swat his sword away. So, like, and then in this moment, I paused because I was like, okay, there is a large man
who has on top of you.
Ground, pinned to the ground, hovering over me, has a sword literally to my throat. I'm like, yeah, get that shit out of here. The balls.
Don't do that.
The audacity. Get that shit out of my face. And I commend her for having that kind of audacity, to be honest with you. I was like, oh. But however, when she did, obviously she like pulled back, right? She was like, oh shit, because it like burned her hand.
Yeah.
And it was really hot. And he goes, only the person sealed to it can touch an active Alchemarian sword. But I thought it was interesting because Alchemarian sounds awfully similar to alchemist.
Right. And it is.
So why did it hurt her?
Because it's already sealed to him. Remember the chapter before they were talking about the sword that she used to pull out of the ground, right? To open that quicksilver Bellicon had.
Mm-hmm.
But that sword isn't sealed to anybody. So yeah, anybody can use it right now. It's not the quicksilver, all of that hasn't bonded to somebody, right? But that is his bonded sword. Remember, if you think in the future, when she makes a sword for somebody else and it bonds to him, and somebody tries to take it back.
Oh, that's right. When Daniel tries to take it, Okay, so, that's fair. Yeah. That's a good connection.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So the audacity to try to swap that away. Girl's got guts.
She got something.
And when he tells her, I laughed at this part because he was like only a person that's sealed to the sword can touch it. And he goes, I would have warned you not to do that, but you never listened to me. Do you, human? I decided not to waste my breath. And I was like, you know what, Kingfisher? It's about time that you let her learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Let her put her finger.
Let her lose a finger. It's like she doesn't need it.
She's going to lose it. I can heal. It's fine. The fey healers. She'll be fine.
I mean, she could. They could heal her if she lost her finger, too, apparently. So it's fine.
And then he tells her, he's like, I wouldn't have been dumb enough to do it in the first place. She's like, I had to go through the silver. And he's like, girl, you would have died if you set foot in that pool. And she's like, no, I had a ring, bro. I had your ring. And he's like, that ring isn't a relic. It's a trinket and nothing more. It would not have protected you. And she says, it shielded you when you brought me through the pool. And he goes, no, it didn't. Of course it fucking didn't. She's like, you told Lane that you were wearing it. He's like, I told Lane I was wearing it. Nothing more. And this is where
words are important.
Words are so important to the Fae. And this is across like all fantasy. I feel like this is across all fantasy books.
Yeah.
Where words are super, super important. What you say, like the details, you got to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny is Lane also knows that, right? Like she's a fae as well. So the fact that she didn't like confirm with him, she just took his word for it was interesting to me. But also she hadn't seen him in a long time. So yeah. I don't know. So she's like, Sarah says like, wait, so you like went through this portal? And she's like, so you traveled through with your without your pennant to save me? He fucking laughed. He's like, ha, no. he's got laughs. And then it says that he had a mask of pity, which I laughed a little bit about as well.
He's like, oh, he's like, poor baby.
Oh, boo. Absolutely not. No. He's like, I did it to save my friends, to end exile, to live or die, like one way or the other. He's like, you literally were not involved in this situation. You just happened to fucking show up at the weirdest time. She's like, then I would have been fine without it. He's like, if you can move through pathways without a shield, which honestly, like, fair thought, though. Like, right, if you can do it, I can do it. And he's like, I'm stronger than you, idiot. And I laugh. I love when he calls her an idiot. I don't know why. It just brings me a little joy. Idiot.
I don't think that's a fair thought, though. Like,
she has a lot of bravery. She can do many things.
This man is like thousands of years old, and he's a fae. We've already discussed the difference in the two. So for her to be like,
she's very confident.
I could have done it.
I definitely could have done that. And he's like, no, boo, you could not have. And he's like, my mind is an impenetrable vault, and I still paid a heavy price for my transgression. Your mind is as shallow as a fucking teacup. It would have splintered into 1,000 pieces. I don't have a brat kink. Let me make that very clear. I don't have that. However, Kingfisher can tell me that my mind is as shallow as a fucking teacup. It's fine. I'm cool with it.
It depends on the man.
Just this male right here. No others. If any other man can tell me anything,
I liked it with Josh. I liked Josh.
I don't think Josh could be mean like that, though. I don't know if it's a good look on him.
He's not exactly mean. He's just very demanding.
That's true. If you don't know who we're talking about, we did a mini episode called For Lights Out, which is the book that we both listened to. So Josh and Allie are the main characters in that. So if you are interested in listening to our mini episode, you can go over and check it out.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hang on.
Who's Josh?
Who's Josh in the Quicksilver book? I don't know this character. What did I miss? It's not in the bonus chapters. Don't worry.
Nah, he doesn't exist here.
So he tells her, he's like, even if you thought about going to that, like, if you keep fuck this up, it's not going to be me hurting you. It's going to be Bellicon, right? And he's like, even I can't withstand him. And she's like, guess I'll die then. Which I...
Swing on her right there. No, swing on her right there.
I love that confidence. Yeah, guess I'm done. RIP me. Bye. So, because he's like, someone's going to kick your ass, dude. It's not going to be me, but it'll be somebody. But then and we know that Bellicon is siblings with the Vampire King and Madra and things like that. But Kingfisher didn't know that. So how does he think that Bellicon is stronger than him? Is it the army that he has? Is it a certain power that he has? Like, where does Kingfisher get off thinking that? Is my question.
I mean, he grew up with Bellicon, right? As like this evil stepdad, essentially. Mm-hmm. So he's older than him, right? He's been ruling for longer.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe he just assumes because of that.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think Bellicon is that strong. I think Bellicon... We'll find out. But Bellicon is least of my worries.
Like, the siblings. And maybe he was doing it just to scare her. It could have been just a tactic.
I mean, for her, yeah, Bellicon's a problem.
Because she's obviously Bellicon not scared
could
of
take her. Take her out real quick.
Oh, for sure. Maybe he's like, okay, you're not scared of me. Maybe you'll be scared of this other man.
Right. But for Kingfisher.
He could totally take Bellicon.
Yeah, he's fine.
And my money's on Kingfisher.
Yeah.
For sure. So she's like, okay, guess I'm dead then. I'll go. And he's like, you're so stupid. You have no idea what you're talking about. And then he's like, she kind of looks back at him, right? And she's like, look into my eyes. Like, no, wait, why don't you listen to my heartbeat, Kingfisher, and tell me if I'm lying? And then they stare at each other, and she's like, I let him see my truth. So she was real. That was not fake. Like, her heart was telling the truth because he can hear it, right? So she was like, I'm going home or I'm dead. That's what's happening. That's what she decided.
Right.
She's very stubborn.
She sure is.
Which is okay.
She's young.
I'm also stubborn. So she's like refusing to look away. And she said, the hair fell into his eyes, the dark waves framing his face, the muscle in his jaw working, working, working as he waited to read something in me that suggested I might break. The silence ate us. Kingfisher shot to his feet and tore away, cursing loudly. He hadn't reached the Quicksilver pool before he spun around and stalked back, holding a finger in the air. And he says, all right, fine. You get one. She's like, I'm going to get one. Right? So he's still super pissed. And he goes, I will go and try to get one of these humans who are so fucking precious to you. I will try to bring that human back here and you will end this madness. Mm-hmm.
In return, you'll agree to do whatever I ask of you and help me forge new relics and any other instruments I deem fit. It's a very important quote. Mm-hmm. Because again, words and details are very important in the Fae. And she's like, you do that? You go there? And she goes, she's like, you're going to go there? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go. And this greedy girl is like, I want two. I want two of them. Not one. Two. And he's like, what? What do you mean you want two? And she's like, oh, my brother Hayden, I want Elroy. And he goes, who the fuck is Elroy? What the fuck is that? Who is this man? He's like, no, dude, you get one. And she's like, I can't choose. How am I supposed to choose? Like, I can't just pick one. And he goes, you share blood with one of them. Like, this is not a hard question.
Right.
And she's like, can this Elroy man also make relics and merge metal?
Right.
And she's like, well, no, but he's a very important friend. And he's like, fuck you.
No. He's like, we don't need that person.
You get one. That man is literally useless. And she's like, no, like, you're going to bring back two. And he's like, he says, let me put this another way for you. I have one relic. I can bring one person at a time back with me. I will not and cannot travel through the quick twice in one fucking day with nothing standing in between me and that nightmare. It will kill me once and for all. So you will tell me to go fetch Hayden for you, and then we will be done with this farce. So he's not having it. She's not getting two. Greedy girl. Right. I read that. I was like, girl, he's literally going to get the one, like, your brother. Just say yes.
Right. That you've been all stressed about this whole time.
Yeah.
And it's either that he gets one or he fucking dies. So
yeah,
get over it and take it.
Exactly. And this is where we remember again, never to make a blood bargain with a fae or any mystical being. If you're ever in the woods, a mystical being comes out and talks to you.
Do not make a bargain in your backyard.
Oh, do gosh. Not make a bargain. Ever, ever.
She does.
She does. So he brings out Nimrel and he, like, cuts his hand a little bit. And she's like, I'm not touching that sword again. Like, I don't care what blood oath you're asking for. And he goes, adorable. No. Use your little dagger that I made for you. He's like, but you're giving me your blood. Just a little bit. So she brings the dagger out. She, like, cuts her palm. Mm-hmm. And then again, here go the words. And this is a quote, I go and try to get your brother. You help and assist me in any way I ask you to, and you do as you're told. You agree to this pact? Yes. You understand that this is a blood oath, and you will be bound by this oath until death. Yes. She agreed to the oath. Stupid, stupid girl.
It's like she's not even listening.
You know, I want to judge her.
I would say yes.
Oh my god, I would be like, do you want to cut here? Do you want arm? Do you want to cut my thigh? Like, oh my god. Where do you want this oath to start?
Oh my god.
I'm just saying, we would be as hot and bothered as she is if we were there. Okay.
I didn't say that, but I don't know.
I would make an oath.
Really, like, I get your brother, and you do anything I ask forever without complaining. And she's like, yes, sounds good.
That man could tell me to step on hot fucking Legos, and I would still make a blood oath with him. I don't know. Oh my god. I
can't do that. I can't do Legos.
They're terrible. I would do it for Kingfisher. Nobody else. Just him.
R.I.P. Cassian.
I would. I love him. Cassie would never ask that of me. Cassie would never.
That's true.
He would never. He'd be like, do you want me to walk on Legos for you?
Yeah, that's true.
He'd fly me over the Legos. Different. Oh my gosh. So he's like, give me something of Hayden's. Like, I just need an item. She's like, well, I don't have anything. Which, fair. She was not expecting to be arrested and taken to a castle and put through a portal and brought to another realm. So understandable that she doesn't have something of her brother's. And she's like, can you just, like, go get him? Like,
just go there and find him. And he's like, I can't just show up to your godforsaken city and immediately find someone I never met before.
It's fair. Fair point.
Right. So he's like, I need something of your brother's. And she's like, ah, yeah, that's fair. That makes sense. Okay, I get it now. And so he's like, of course you don't have anything. He's your full brother, though, right? Like, same parents. And she said, yes. And then he's like, okay, cool. Your blood should suffice. And he's like, I already have that, right, on my hand. Because yeah, they made that blood. So he's like, wait here. Do not move from this spot. She's like, you're going right now? And he's like, do you want to wait? Like, I'm, the fuck are you talking? Why are you being stupid? I'm like, why are you doing this? And so he goes into the pool, right? He's like, I'll be back. He says, close this portal when I go and open it in 1 hour. Okay. She's like, okay, what if I don't do that? So basically he's like, if you don't open this portal, I'm going to burn your fucking city down. I'll destroy it if you leave me there. She's like, okay, cool. She's like, so what if I leave it open? I can't close it. He's like, well, do you want feeders to come through? Like a horde of them? And she goes, what's a feeder? He does not explain it. He's like, you don't want to know. She does find out eventually. We all do.
Very shortly.
He's like, you don't want to know. So he jumps in the pool. She closes it. Mm-hmm. There's no concept of time down there. Like, there's no clocks. There's nothing. So she literally has to be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, like, count the minutes out.
She's like, has it been enough time?
49, 50, 59, 60.
My God.
As she's chilling there in this, like, dark, creepy dungeon area with a big pool of silver that she's thankfully closed, she hears, like, click, 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 click. And she's like, what the fuck is that? Oh, no. Click, 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 click. And Raya's like, we think she's about to die and be attacked by something awful. Out comes the fox. And he's back. He's like, what's up, girl? You closed that portal. I'm here. I'm glad you didn't go in. Would have missed you. And so she's like, whew, just a fox. No big deal. And so she grabs a fox and she's like, petting him. They're hanging out. And then this is where she names him. She goes like, what's your name? And she's looking into his beautiful, like, beady onyx eyes. And she's like, how about Onyx? Mm-hmm. And in agreement, the fox closes his eyes and takes a little nap. Aww. The fox knows. The fox understands. Tell me I'm wrong.
I have receipts to my theory. You're not wrong.
So, and it's interesting. This is a part where I thought it was interesting because he, like, talks about, like, how bad this city is, like, how bad her city is. And, like, when he comes back, he's like, fuck, that sucked. Like, that was awful. He's like, I'm never doing that again. Like, your city is fucking terrible. It's dirty. It's awful.
Well, he also didn't have his pendant on when he came through.
Right. And I don't, and the silver, obviously, like, the silver was bad, but he talks about how Sylvarin was bad and how it's like, he talks about it as in like a, almost like a past tense. Like, he had been there before.
Mm.
Because the pools used to be open, right? And he knows about Madra, and Madra has owned Sylvarin for a very long time.
Right.
I think it would be interesting is that in the next book that's coming out, Brimstone, where we know that Kingfisher and another character go through back to save Hayden.
Right.
I would like to hear some previous stories of when Kingfisher was there.
But the thing is was when he went to Sylvarin, he was probably, I would assume, in the better areas of it, right? Because if he's there for business and they're around
Madra. Was he there for business? Was he there for fun? We don't know.
I don't think he would be in the third ward, though.
I mean, maybe not intentionally.
Mm.
But then it also, was the third ward always that way forever, all the years? Or did it used to be different and then she decided, right? Because eventually we know that Madra, like, put a lot of, like, the alchemists and the special humans there to like, kill them out.
Right.
She mentions that later in the book. So I wonder if the third ward didn't always used to be how it was.
Right. Maybe.
I'd like to hear some Kingfisher memory stories.
Backstories.
Of being in Sylvarin. So anyways, he comes to the portal. He's like, oh, that fucking sucked. He plops a human on the ground. He's like, did it. We're back. Never doing that again. She's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, this is fucking great. You brought my brother.
this is awesome. And she like goes over to him and she's looking at him. And guess fucking what? It's not her brother. It's not Hayden. It's Carrion fucking Swift. And that is the end of chapter 13.
Oh my gosh.
Carrion Swift. And I laughed at this because we know that like he has the smell of Ceres on him. But and obviously there are spoilers in this book, so we know what happens in the end. Why did he not smell not human on him? Do you know what I mean? Like if he was originally from the world that like.
So he's been living there a long time, right? Like mm-hmm.
being a scent change.
Do you think that because right? He's known for sleeping with people. He does that to cover his scent.
Maybe. He probably doesn't bathe either.
No, he's in the third fucking ward. He's like, right. Oh, this will just cover me. I'll be good. Ooh. And it worked.
That's very possible. Yeah, that's super possible. Interesting. So in chapter 14, mm-hmm. we're in the same spot, right? So Carrion Swift is on the fucking ground. She's like, that's 100% for sure Carrion Swift. And Kingfisher literally shrugs. He's like, I'll tell you.
My bad.
Yeah, she's like, copper color hair, annoyingly perfect mouth, heart-shaped birthmark on his chin. It was definitely Carrion. And he goes, I tracked your bloodline. It led me right to him. I asked who he was. He literally said he was Hayden. Fine, ergo, Hayden Fane. I don't know what else to tell you, babe. And she's like, were you literally pinning him against a wall, like with a sword? And he goes, no, I had him in a headlock. I didn't even draw this. Nimrod wasn't even there.
Okay, but here's my question. He tracked her bloodline.
Yes. This also threw me for a loop for a while. When I very first read this, I was like, they're related. That they're brother and sister. It's a long lost family member. But, and it doesn't, it kind of explains it, right? Like why her scent is on him. Obviously they were sleeping together. Right?
Yeah, but he said blood.
It doesn't say it, but I think that Carrion wasn't judging when it was Ceres' time of the month. That's my guess.
Oh, that's a good theory.
Doesn't say it. But that would make sense.
I mean, that's a good theory. Unless they're going to come out with a big theory that, or like a big reveal that they are somehow related.
I hope not. I don't like that. It's possible, but
I don't know.
It doesn't really tell us.
No.
Because immediately I was like, oh, he's a secret family member that she doesn't know about. And I was like, fuck, she's going to be even more embarrassed than she already is all the time. And Kingfisher would never let her live it down.
Yeah. So that always gets me. That, like, I still question that line.
I think she was on her period. That's my guess.
You're like, I'm pretty set on this.
Well, until someone tells me otherwise in the book. So she's like obviously pissed. And she's like, no, no, no. Like, you're going to go back. Like, this is not our bargain. This is not what we agreed to. And he's like, do you know where that portal ends up? Literally in Madra's palace. Do you know what's waiting there for me when I went there? Many, many guards. And he's like, I was stabbed 7 times just trying to get there. He's like, I'm not going back. No. And he smelled like you, and he said that his name was Hayden. So he is staying. Not Hayden is staying.
Carrion.
Period. Carrion is staying. So he throws Carrion over his shoulder, and they climb 23 flights of stairs all the way up to the top. And so he tells her, he says, stay put and do not make a sound. And he drops Carrion right in front of her. Carrion's out cold. Like, mm-hmm. out. And so she's, like, trying to say something snarky. She can't.
No, because she made a blood oath.
She made a blood oath. He's like, do not make a sound and stay put. Hee hee. So she's, like, trying to move. She can't. She's trying to speak. She can't. And she still doesn't get it either. She's like, what the
fuck is happening to my body right now? But on it's funny that she doesn't question it that much, because the Quicksilver pulls her to the pool. She's like, okay, cool. It's Quicksilver's pulling me to the pool. It's fine. And then she like makes his blood oath and she's like, now I can't physically move my body. Okay. She's very chill with many things, I feel like.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think I would have panicked.
Oh, I would have freaked out. Yeah.
Like, been like, ah! Well, without the scream though, because you can't.
It's muted.
And so he's gone for like an hour. He comes back. And he's like, all right, we got to go. I couldn't find Ryan because, like, went to go find Ryan. He's like, I left him a note, though. And as he's leaving, he's like, we're out. Let's go. He's leaving. He noticed Ceres is not following him. And he's like, come on, little Osha. You keep up. You can speak again, but no complaining.
He's such a little shit.
I still don't think that it, like, processed in her brain. I still don't think that she gets it. And so they, like, go down to the barn, right? And she's like, okay, now I can move my body. That's fun. So they go down to the barn, and he brings out a horse. And she's like, absolutely fucking not. And he's like, you don't like horses? I don't like horses. She's like, no, I don't like horses, and they don't like me. So she has, like, we found out she has an enemy with all horses.
Apparently.
All horses are bad for her. I would like to know the like, a real backstory of why why horses don't like her. Not sure, but she can handle a fox biting to her bone. I'm like, you'll be okay. So anyways, they're like going back and forth. She's like, I'm not getting on this horse. And he's like, you're getting on the horse, right? Like, if I have to put you on the horse, I will, which he ends up doing.
Right.
So he says, keep your ass in the saddle and keep your mouth shut.
Well, and guess what?
She has to. And this is where he finally has to like break it down for her. He goes, girl, we made a blood bargain.
Right.
And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, I said verbatim, I'll go and try to get your brother. You help me assist in any way I ask you to, and you do as you're told. You agree to this pact? To which she replied, yes, gods, I agree. Just get on with it. Always pay attention to the fine print. The devil's in the details. Hilarious.
Crazy.
Poor girl. Never make a bargain, guys. Unless it's with Kingfisher, then I won't judge you that hard. So they're leaving the barn and they go outside and she feels snow for the first time, which again, like, no moon, no cold, no animals, no snow, no water. This girl's probably fucking freezing. Like, he has a coat for her.
Yeah,
but can you imagine, like, oh my god, it'd be so fucking cold. Like, her nose would be running for the first time ever.
It's like when I go up to home. They're like, it's actually pretty warm today. It's in the 40s. And I'm like, holy shit. Shivering.
It's so cold. Why is it like this? And so then she looks up and she's like, what the fuck are those? And he's like, they're stars. And she's like, I don't know what those are. This poor, you might as well have a paper bag on her head for her whole life. Can't see anything. And he's like, yeah, the Quicksilver closes the gap. With it, we can travel to the realms that orbit those stars. So Zolvarin's, like, up there somewhere, right? It's not, like, a portal door where you, like, walk through and then that one's, like, behind you cannot see it. So it's, like, it's, like, stars and planets. And the Quicksilver's, like, a little bridge to all of them.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty wild. Cool. I want to see like it's more always, traveling.
Yeah. And I feel like it's always the, like, they're on the same plane almost. Yes. And then they have those walls between them. Like, that's kind of the setup, not as much. I really like the...
It expands
kind of like instead. The solar system, setup.
Yes, I agree. And I would really... I think it'd be really cool to see more planet, like, jumping.
Yeah.
Planet swimming. You guys swim through the silver. So she's, like, feeling the cold for the first time. And she's like, no, dude, we gotta wait for Ren. Like, we're not leaving without him. I don't know why she doesn't... Why she's, like, so set on waiting for him. But she wants to. Maybe she doesn't want to be alone with Kingfisher. Maybe it's because there's a horse.
Right.
I don't know. But he's like, girl, we're getting on the horse. Like, we're leaving. We're going. We're not waiting for him. There's a meetup spot. He knows what to do. It's fine. So before they go outside of the barn, like, backing up just a little bit, he picks her on the horse, gives her a coat, right? Because she's like, I'm going to be cold.
Yeah.
And he goes, bring your leg forward.
do not touch the saddlebag, which is important. Uh-huh. Becomes important later on. And then he's like, bring your leg back. Don't yank on the reins. Ada's a good girl. And she's like, I'm pretty sure Ada's not a good girl, but whatever. And poor Ada's like, I just fucking met you. Who is this girl? Why is she so mean?
She's like, this bitch on my back.
Yeah, Ada's like, what the fuck? I'm literally standing here.
Being a good girl. You.
Yeah, I'm a good girl. Game Fisher told me so. If I was that horse, though, I'd probably buck her off when he's out.
Literally. I'd be like, you're done.
Yeah, bye. So then they're like headed out, and she's like, holy shit, where's my bag? I don't have my bag. I'm freaking out.
Oh, no.
And she's like, I need my bag.
Onyx.
And so he like snaps his fingers. Boom. Bag is there. Oh. Conjurer's bag.
Fancy man.
So fancy.
Fancy magic man.
And she's like, where is Onyx? And he's like, what's an Onyx?
I forgot about that part.
He's like, what the fuck's an Onyx? What is that? And she's like, it's my fox. And he's like, we're not bringing the fox. So we're bringing the fox. She's like, you know what? Why don't you focus on your cargo and I'll focus on mine, right? Because his cargo is carrying Swift on the back of his horse.
Oop.
Passed out. He's like, meh, fine. Nah, nah, nah. And then he tries to tell me, he's like, that fox should run beside us. Like, it's a fox.
Right.
Like,
let it get its exercise.
Yeah, he needs to run. And she's like, no.
He's just a baby.
He's just a baby. And he will be cold. He's like, what? But I have never related more to a line than this right here. Where they're like, that animal should go do its natural thing. And no, it's going to be cold. It needs to be comfortable.
It's just a baby. It cannot do that.
No. It's nice fur that's built for this environment. Does not need to be out there right now.
Nope.
I say so. The dog goes in the passenger seat. You can sit in the back. Like, I was like, yeah, girl, you tell him. And so they're leaving, right? They're finally like trotting off. And he looks and he goes, are you sure this is not your brother? Are you absolutely sure? Because I'm sure he's like sitting on this horse like, how the fuck did I mess this up? He's probably thinking it too.
Probably.
Like, what's happening? Why is it not him? Right? Because it did smell her blood. I think he's also. And she's like, yeah, dude, I know my own brother. She's like, and Kingfisher's like, okay, he's not your brother. Why are we taking him with us? Like, we should just dump his ass right here. Like, why are we carrying this weight that I just brought back? And then she's like, no, we're definitely taking him with us. Like, Bellicom will kill him. However, I think out of all the people in this book that you could drop in the woods outside of a winter palace, it would be Carrion Swift.
Oh, yeah.
And he would 100% survive.
He would probably wake up. He would probably wake up and be like, oh, thank God. And then just like,
yeah, I'm here.
Go back to doing whatever the heck he does. I think he'd
still be mad that he only had one boot, because we know later on he has one boot, not two. He lost one. And it's kind of cold. But I think he would end up, like, being on, like, part of the court in the Winter Palace. I think he would leave Everling.
I don't know. I know. I think he would be fine, though.
All right. And that is the end.
Of chapter 14.
Of chapter 14.
Yeah.
That's right. Chapter 14 was kind of a short one. It was a good one, though. I had a lot of information in it.
Yeah. I like this part is kind of when I got like super, like I was already interested, but I feel like it really starts to take off from here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. Next week's episodes are going to be pretty good because we're going to dive into a lot of like when they go to some of the other areas in the book, we're going to meet some more characters.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So if you liked this episode, make sure to like and subscribe, follow and share with your friends. We put out episodes every Thursday, and check out for some mini episodes that are coming your way as well.
Yeah. Woohoo! Amazing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.